We named this talk, it starts in the mind and it ends in the heart. But on my way over here, I realized that that's not the full story. I think the appropriate name should be, it starts in the mind, it comes to the heart, then it goes back to the mind and ends in the heart. And allow me to explain. The beginning of Sefer Shmos, we find the first encounter with HaKadosh Baruch Hu and Moshe Rabbeinu, where Hashem tells Moshe Rabbeinu that he should go and tell Bnei Yisrael that I'm here, I'm ready to take you out. Hashem spoke to me and he said, we're taking you out of Mitzrayim. And Moshe Rabbeinu taught us a lesson which most of the people of the world, although they've read the book, because it's been translated to all the languages, never really got that lesson. Moshe Rabbeinu said very straightforward, simply, V'hein lo yaminu li. Who's going to believe me that God spoke to me? Moshe Rabbeinu taught us a lesson, that a private revelation is not necessarily, or not really credible. Like, if I choose to believe, you know, if I so choose, if I have reason or emotion or benefits or something, okay, then maybe I could believe. But stop, why should they believe me? I had a private revelation. That's interesting because the Umos Ha'olam all read this, and yet their claims are basically private revelation. Of course, I mean, we can understand that because you cannot fabricate public revelation. It doesn't work. Because there's somebody out there, and there's people out there, and there's a natural reaction out there that's going to say, hey, what are you telling me? We never saw it. I never saw it. I don't know what you're talking about. On a private revelation, you could either believe it or not. So the private revelation teaches us something very interesting. It says that it can't start in the heart. If you choose to believe, okay, but there's no basis to it. It's your personal choice. It's your personal belief, a belief basically meaning that for whatever my reason may be, I have chosen to accept this as true. Not so Maamar Har Sinai, not so public revelation, because over there, you cannot convince masses of people that they witnessed miraculous events or that they heard Hashem speaking to them if in fact it didn't happen. So that's the first lesson. So we know that it has to start in the mind. It can't start in the heart with belief, with an individual, with a private revelation. But it starts something. I know. Okay? I know what happened at Har Sinai. We stood by Har Sinai. Millions of people, eyewitnesses, hearing, seeing the koilos on the broken. The Pasuk even says, Vayaris ha-koilos. They saw the koilos. What was that pre-advent of the fax machine? You know, but they saw the koilos. It's like, and you knew, if you stood there, you knew what happened. Porcho nishmosom. Then the neshamas returned to them. They saw this miraculous event. They eyewitnessed this miraculous event. And therefore they knew there's yediya, not emuna, choosing to believe, but rather yediya, knowledge of what happened. And that is the basis of a historical event. I always like to think that the reason that the nations of the world, and as they have incorporated our Tanakh, our what they call our Old Testament, into theirs, why must they, you know, validate us to such an extent? You know, to say, oh yeah, Hashem appeared to the Klal Yisrael, to the Jewish people. That story is written there. Every time I go into a hotel room and I open it up, I open up the Gideon Bible and I see, hey, the same story. I think the answer is really very simple. Well, there's two answers. Number one, it's a historical fact. It's hard to dispute. It's a historical fact in front of millions of eyewitnesses, which has been passed down intact, not stories and folklore and changes and versions. One version, one text, one identical text for thousands of years. But the second thing is, it's loinzach vazei. It's kedai for them. Why? Because hey lo yaminu li, who's going to believe in a private revelation? So what? But I can't say there was a public revelation. But at least I could say there was once a public revelation. The Creator does speak to people, and now He spoke in private. But otherwise, the Halo Yamidali would be overwhelming because we never heard that he speaks to any human being, and now you're telling me you had a private revelation. If at least it was once a public revelation, so there's a precedent. The precedent is for public? Well, you'll have to believe me that it was private, but at least it's not so outlandish because it has happened before. Okay. So again, we start with information. We start with knowledge. Knowledge means in the mind. It starts in the mind. It can't start, or it can't start with a conviction, with a firmness, with a solid base if it just starts in the heart. Because that's what I conjecture, that's what I assume, that's what I choose to believe. What happens once it hits the mind? Well, it's a very, very interesting parasha. It starts in Vayeschanan, and it continues on at the Ekev. Moshe Rabbeinu is making his farewell address. He's talking to Klal Yisrael and reviewing with them the history. It's Yitzias Mitzrayim, Yam Suf, what happened in the Midbar, the works, and all the miracles and what they heard at Har Sinai. And they say, Yishom Elochem Pentishka Chesadvorim Asher Rohu Einecho, you saw it with your own eyes, and so forth. And then, in the middle of his drosha, he says something very bizarre. V'yodato Hayoim, you know it this day, of course you should know it, of course you know it, you saw it, you witnessed it, you lived in the Midbar. V'hashevoiso Elevovecho Ki Hashem Huhu Elohikim Hashemayim Mimal V'olos Mitocha. Return it to your heart. The Targum says, "Usesuv lelibach." Return it to your heart. What? Who are you talking to? You're talking to the Dor Dea. You're talking to the people who live in the Anan Hakovet by day and the Anan Eish by night. You're talking to the people that had mon for breakfast. The mon is Adayin Ben Shineim. They just had mon this morning for breakfast. They lived miraculously for 40 years in the Midbar. The older ones stood by Har Sinai themselves. The younger ones maybe stood as children or heard from their parents. But you're talking about the Dor Deo, the ultimate knowledge. They know it. Of course, V'yodato Hayoim. What's Vashiv HaYisrael? Return it to your heart. It's a constant returning, returning, returning. How could it go out? How could you lose it? What are we talking about? Teretz says we see two things. Number one, that the Avoido is to take it from the mind and bring it to the heart. And Moshe Rabbeinu tells them, Yodata, you know, Hashem hu Elokim b'shamayim mimal, v'al ha'aretz mitochas einoid milvado, you know everything. But that's knowledge, that's intellectual. You now have to bring it down to the heart, to the emotional level. And the second thing about the heart, which maybe is even a more ongoing occurrence than even the mind. You know, the mind, if you have something, you know, have a piece of information, so more or less you know it. All right, the mind plays tricks on us. We can forget, that's true, but it's intellectual. I have it, it's a piece of information. It's stored away in my memory bank. The heart is very different. Vashivo Yisrael Vavecha means you have to constantly return it to your heart. Because the heart is forever pulling in a different direction. And that's really very poshut, because we know, levovecho, Rashi says in Chumash, v'ahavtas Hashem l'kachavecho levovecho, two bases mean, b'shnei yitzarecho, b'yitzatoy b'yitzahor. There's a tug of war that goes on in the heart. Pulling one direction, pulling the other direction. So v'ashivu yisrael levovecho, the heart will never let it sit. Ooh, Hashem hu elokim, the yitzahor is pulling. Forget it, forget it, forget it. No. You're making me, ignore it, forget it. Maybe it didn't happen. Who knows what? So we have to constantly, Hashivu Yisrael Avovecho, Ki Hashem Elokim. Once, there's a Rav now, in a well-known Rav in Brooklyn, but when he was a Koyler Yungerman, so he once told me, he says he used to leave his Rosh Hashiva's picture on his desk. And when he wanted a bottle or something that the Rosh Hashiva wouldn't approve of, he would just go like this. He put the picture down. You know, we do that to the Rabbeinu Shalalem. V'hashivu yisrael avovecho, we have to constantly return it and return it and return it again, because otherwise it dissipates, it gets lost, the heart pulls it in different directions. So again, it has to start in the mind, it has to go to the heart. But it has to be constantly returned to the heart, because it's as if the heart has a leak. Maybe that's a good moshul. The heart has a leak. This yediyah leaks out of the heart, And memeilu, we have to constantly return it, return, refill that heart every day. Constantly, v'ashivos is even more than every day. It's all the time. It's tmidis because of that leak. And this is really the avoida of the emuna and the internalizing that emuna into something that's v'yodata v'ashivos elbovecha. Now, what is the emotional internalization of the emuna? Let's analyze that for a moment. What does that really mean? Okay, return it to your heart. Well, what am I returning to my heart? I know Hashem Hu Elokim. How does that play in the heart any different than it plays in the mind? You know, the heart and the mind, they work in sync on some level. And I know Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem Hu Elokim, Ein Oid. So now in my heart, now I feel it. So what does it do? It seems... And I would like to suggest that this is really what it means. What it really means is the heart has to trust HaKadosh Baruch Hu. The heart has to feel and so to speak, motivate the actions. The heart is like the motor. It's like the it controls us, the actions in the context of trusting Hashem. In other words, bitochin is really the emotional internalization of the ideas that we know. And let's take, for example, I know Hashem is molei chesed v'rachamim. That's the idea. I know that's a fact. That is v'yodato hayoyim. I know Hashem hu Elokim v'aker. Hashem is the midas v'rachamim. Elokim is the midas hamishpot, and we've pointed out at this place many times that the whole reason that Hashem works with mishpot is because that's the greatest chesed, because then we earned it, then we deserved it, then it's no nama de kisufa, then it's like giving the highest level of tzedakah, which is like giving a job. So all of it is his kol kuloi chesed verachamim. That's who Hashem is. Now what? Now I take that yediyah, that knowledge that I have, that's knowledge, I know it to be true. Now I want to bring it to my heart. I want to internalize it in my heart. What am I doing when I do that? What I'm saying is, hey, feel it. If you feel it, you can act on it. You can use it. You can strengthen yourself with it because it gives me the emotional strength. It says, I know to the fullest extent, I feel with every fiber of my being, with the depths of my emotions, Hashem Hu Elokim. When I feel that, so what that tells me is, hey, Hashem is Molei Chesed V'Rachamim. I'm starting to feel that I can count on Him to deliver for me. That's an emotion. Because it's not a logic, it's not a idea that He's going to deliver, because maybe I don't deserve it. So it can't be the intellectual knowledge that Hashem Hu Elokim cannot assure me alone that I'm going to get the things that I desire, because I may not deserve it. But when I internalize it emotionally, I say, listen, I feel it. I just know it. That's what Hashem does. That's who He is. He's Hashem Hu Elokim. He's the Balarachim. He's the Balachesed. Of course. And again, it's not logical. It's not here. It started here. The expression of that knowledge that I have here expresses itself differently when it gets to my heart. Emotions express themselves differently than intellectual knowledge. And the way it expresses itself by saying, I'm counting on Him. I feel it. I just feel He's going to help me. I just know it. I see the chesed. I see the rachamim. It's there. I have no hesitation. I have no worry. I have no concern because it inspired me. It touched me emotionally.
Yeah, but now I think I deserve it.
What?
Now emotionally,
I don't deserve it, and I don't have to deserve it. And if I have any hesitation about the fact that I don't deserve it, so there are two suggestions that can be offered. One is not so flattering, so we may not want to use that. Well, there are three suggestions. One is definitely not flattering. One is not flattering, but not insulting. And the other one is completely fine. And I'll tell you exactly what they are. The not so flattering one, the one that's not flattering, is the pasuk Rabbi Machoivim Lerosho, Vavitech Vashem Chesed Yisevenu. Great are the pains that a Rosha suffers, But one who puts his trust in Hashem will be surrounded by chesed. And Chazal, the Medrash, says, Afilu Rosha ubetech b'Hashem, chesed sovavenu. That's the Darsh in that pasuk. Rab Nachum the Rosha, v'habetech b'Hashem, meaning the Rosha that's betech b'Hashem, chesed sovavenu. Afilu Rosha ubetech b'Hashem, chesed sovavenu. So again, maybe I'm not deserving. Okay, I wasn't really thinking that I'm really such a Rosha. I was thinking I wasn't so deserving. But even if I'm a Rosha, chesed yisoyvavenu, if I trust Hashem, so then certainly I think I'm a little bit better than a Rosha, maybe a little drop better than a Rosha. Okay, so I can trust Hashem. That's the least flattering. The next one is what we say in Tilim, in Kapitel Lamed Gimel, Hine Ein Hashem El Yireyov, Lam Yachalim Lechastoy, the Chofetz Chaim's Diuk. Says the Ein Hashem, Hashem looks favorably on the God-fearing people, and he says, not Hamiyachalim, not the Yirei Hashem who are Miyachalim, but the Yirei Hashem, Hamiyachalim Lechastoy, is a separate kita, a separate group. There's the Yirei Hashem that he looks favorably on. Hashem looks favorably on those that await his chesed, even if they are not worthy of the title Yirei Hashem. Right, that gets a little closer to home. You know, I may not be worthy of the title Yirei Hashem. I don't know. I don't flatter myself to be a Rosha, but Yirei Hashem. You mean even if I'm not Yirei Hashem, there's Miyachalim Lechastoy? And Miyachalim Lechastoy, by the way, doesn't even mean the highest level of Botuach. It's not a lotion of bitochin on the highest level. It's yichul. It's I'm awaiting. If you await the chesed Hashem, he will take care of you. Ooh, that one already I can begin to see. So that calms me down. And that emotionally, I internalize. Hashem hu elokim. He's the Baal Rachmin b'chesed. And his hanhoga is as per David HaMelech and the Chofetz Chaim, both Baalei Samcha that we can rely on, that if you're meyachal lechastoy, will be taken care of too. The next pasuk says,
"Who gives you the right to be miyachal chazda if you're not deserving?"
No. That's again. If it was intellectual, then you need a right. Intellectual to what right? How do you know? How do you know you're right? How do you know? If it's emotional, you don't need rights. To be the Baal Bitochen, you don't need rights. It's a feeling. I've taken the intellectual. I've taken this knowledge of Hashem's chesed and rachamim, and I've internalized it emotionally, and it just speaks to me and says, this is what he does. He does it all the time. He's Bali Chesed Rachamim. And Mimela, I start to feel, hey, you know, I just got this feeling. It's like a hunch I got. It's like something, one of the Lashonis they use, it's like a Ruach Oiz HaMevasro, something from within just announces to me that this is going to happen. But then there's the third situation. And the third situation is a practical and not unflattering at all suggestion of the Vilna Goyim. And that suggestion goes as follows. We say it in, it's a going in Mishle, I think it's Mishle Chofei, if I'm not mistaken, but it can be found in the going, the Siddur Hagro, and Avnei Elio brings it on Nishmas. On Shabbos morning, Nishmas. Because in Nishmas we say, Ad heina azarunu rachamecho, v'lo azarunu chasodecho, v'al titshenu Hashem elokeinu lanetzach. So the going says that the pshat is like this. Ad heino azarunu was only rachamecho. That you helped us was only because of rachamim. Veloy azavunu, and you didn't forsake us, was only chasudecho, only your kindness. He says, therefore, and he adds these words, therefore we're betuchim, we have confidence, we have bitochon, sha'al titshenu lanetzach, that you'll never forsake us. Why? So he says like this. If what you helped me until now, or what you didn't forsake me until I was because I deserved it, maybe today I don't deserve it anymore. If I look back at all the chesed Hashem, and all the rachamim, how he saved us, and how he didn't allow us to be destroyed, didn't forsake us, and I say, well, you know, I guess we must have deserved it. If that's the case, it can't help me today at all. Because on an intellectual level, what do you mean? You have to deserve it. I don't deserve it, so forget it. It's all over. What right do I have? Not only what right, it's ridiculous. I can't. I don't deserve it. But when you focus and see, Ad heino azarunu, everything that he helped us until now, we never deserved. The chasodim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu did to us, mi yomim kadmoinios, we didn't deserve. And then he continued to do it. That was only Rachamecha. V'le'azavunu, and that which he didn't forsake us over the 2,000 years of the Golos and everything else, is only Chasudecha. Oh, if that's the case, now I see that deserving is no longer a factor. Deserving is not, it doesn't depend on deserving. If that's the case, I can be confident. Now, but let me, because maybe I see you may be bothered by this. There is a question here, because the question could go like this. How do I know? I know until now it was only chesed v'rachamim, but maybe they were more deserving than I am, and on my level of deserving, I'm not even entitled to the chesed v'rachamim that they were entitled to without deserving, because they're not deserving. And we know in the previous generations that when those that didn't deserve in the previous generation deserve much more than I do, mm-hmm. as the generations go down. So my great-great-grandfather, he deserved much more than I. So the fact that Hashem saved him, how does that reflect on me? We're right back where we started from. The teretz is the pshat and the goyin is like this. It isn't intellectual. It doesn't come from the mind. This is the result of what we have taken from the mind and put into the heart. What does that mean? When I see hashgocha after hashgocha, historic event after historic event, generation after generation, azarunu shel ezras Hashem, ezras avoseinu atohu me'olam. That allows me to think emotionally. I can't, intellectually it's not true. Maybe I don't deserve as much. But emotionally, just when you look at compound the chesed again and again and again. We're talking about millions, we're talking about billions of chasodim, of people who didn't deserve it, because the chesed Hashem is always more than we deserve. I mean, it's infinite. And, if that's the case, you know something? I can begin to feel, intellectually, the question still is there, because maybe I deserve even less than they did. But once I look as hey nazaru nachmecha, v'lo yazaru chasadecha, now I can emotionally feel she'altid sheinu lenetzach. Because when I see that emotional picture, it's a whole different story. The Sefer HaChinuch even says that the inyan by the mitzvah of Gid Anoshe, he says the inyan of Gid Anoshe is when we remind ourselves of the victory of Yaakov Avinu over the Sar of Esav, we remain firm in our emunah and our bitochen in all the deiros. I ask you, what are you talking about? Yaakov Avinu was zeiche to beat the Sar of Esav. That means I can rely on Hashem? You know the difference between me and Yaakov Avinu? Forget the thousands of years. It's the billions of light years. The teretz is, it's not intellectual. Intellectually, we do not have that. It doesn't follow intellectually, but it comes from the mind to the heart. And now I say, hey, I feel it. I see. Yaakov Avinu, look what happened. The Tsar of Esav. He was so outstrengthed, outnumbered, he should have, and yet he was in the last minute, he was able to win the battle. You know, he was already wounded, and he won that. Hashem helps under the most dire circumstances. That inspires me emotionally. The picture emotionally elevates me and gives me the opportunity, the ability to feel that way. We've mentioned this many.
What didn't we say that Schus Avos is on there?
Also, but that's not what he says. There's schus avos too. But he says simply, he says, when we remember Yaakov Avinu, that in itself. Go ahead. No, we mentioned this concept in a little bit of a different context once. We mentioned the idea of Hillel Mechayev Aniyim. We said, Hillel Mechayev Aniyim, what does that mean? Chazal say, Hillel was poor. And Bidachkus, he learned Torah. Hillel became Hillel Azokin. So he says, very nice, beautiful. But why is that mechayev me to learn? Morushoch. If I have the potential to learn bedachkus when I have no money, so even if Hillel didn't exist, I'd be mechuyev, right? Mechuyev. And if I don't have the potential, what do I care what Hillel was? How's Hillel mechayev me? I don't have the potential, I don't. So how does Hillel's The picture of Hillel, who learns in such poverty, you know, on the roof there by Shmaya Vavtalion, hearing the shir and getting frozen in the snow or whatever, the pictures they picture there. He says, how is that mechayev me? If I have the potential, I'm a chuyev. If I don't, I'm not. It makes a difference where the Hillel lived. So the Rosh Yeshiva said, the pshat is like this. The Rosh Yeshiva, Chofetz Chaim Yeshiva, said like this. He said, the pshat is like this. He says, the picture of Hillel. Hillel, we see Hillel living in Dachkus. That gives me new potential. That picture elevates me. I didn't have the ability before. Hillel Machayev Aniyim, it gives me new koiches. The dogma, the example, this is where we respond to graphics. That's why today nobody writes anymore, right? Everything is graphics. Visual we aid. Respond to pictures.
Visual aid.
What?
Visual.
Aid. That's the visual aid. The picture of Hillel on the roof in the snow. Didn't have a penny to get into the Beis Medrash, and he's sitting there and he's hearing and he's, oh, he had such dachkus and he was able to learn. All of a sudden, now I have new potential. Now I'm not going to be mechuyev because Hillel exists.
Inspiring.
So what?
It's inspiring.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's it. So we have to realize this, that we, if we look at the, and when you look at the panorama of Jewish history, forget Jewish history, look at the panorama of our own existence. Look at the Ches Chastei Hashem that has brought us to this day. Everybody can look back in his personal life to see chesed al chesed in rachamim and chesed lo yazavunu ve'azorunu. And when you take all that together, that builds up to an emotional impetus that says, you know, Hashem does all these things and I didn't deserve it. It just creates the feeling. So it's the intellectual information when known. And in the intellectual information, when pictured and studied and reviewed and experienced, and the Hashevoisel of Ovecho, and I make that effort to traverse what the Bali Musa said was the longest distance in the world from the mind to the heart, that's what inspires the Bitochen. And now I have a newfound strength of conviction and of trust and of reliance in HaKadosh Baruch Hu because of the images or the pictures that I've seen throughout. Now, if you take that and compound it by what everybody else has seen as well, the numbers don't exist. That's it. It's probably close to infinity, whatever that means, of all the chasodim that HaKadosh Baruch Hu has done. And all of that, intellectually, still doesn't mean me. Maybe I'm not as deserving as any of those people. Well, if I want, I could rely on Rabbi Machoy from the Rosh Shabbatech, Hashem Chesed Tzoyvavenu. That's true. And I can rely on Ein Hashem El Yireyov, Lam Yachalim L'chastoy. But even if I forget those two things, but I can, when I see the magnitude and the numbers of the chesed and rachamim that Hashem has done for me and for the whole world, that can't help. The focus, the picture, the pictures, the endless millions, billions, trillions upon trillions and by squared by trillions of pictures that exist, these pictures inspire me in that sense. I just know he's not going to let me die. I just feel it in my bones. Something resonates from within. It's like a little, it whispers a little message to me and says, hey, he's not going to let you down. Come on. What are you worried about? Who are you kidding? And that's really the power. So, but I guess the lesson of all of this is that it takes effort. It takes effort. We cannot. It doesn't happen overnight. It's a process. It's a process. That's what we call learning Musa. It's the process of taking the intellectual and pressing it, pushing it, forcing it, bringing it, and reviewing it again. And everything that he's done, that has that emotional impact, and the person then has, you know, makes the difference. He can become that Baal Bitochen. I'd just like to conclude with one thing, which we've mentioned here. I'm sure a number of times, but I think it's very important to review constantly, and that is Chofetz Chaim's letter. Chofetz Chaim writes that the concept of bitochen is not all or nothing. I reach this absolute trust, now I'm okay. I didn't reach this absolute trust, so I wasted my time. He says very clearly at the end of his letter, he says, Kifi, the amount of bitochen, the level of bitochen that a person reached, it's kifi, it's commensurate with that, is the amount of success that he's going to see in his actions. So it isn't an all or nothing exercise. It's an internalization of these concepts. And to the degree that I succeed, I got the picture, I saw the picture, it took me from a 1 to a 2 to a 3, but I'm not a 10. You'll influence commensurately. Now, if we know that we have influence, no matter what level we achieve, we have some influence. It becomes a very worthwhile endeavor. But I think the other lesson is from Vahashivoisel Vovecha. If this is the taich that we're giving to Vahashivoisel Vovecha, Moshe Rabbeinu seemed to have given them a lesson for life. Vahashivoisel. When? All the time. How many times? Again and again. And it's a constant Vahashivoisel, 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 Vahashivoisel. The maintenance of the bitochon is an ongoing situation. It can very easily dissipate. In fact, it seems, I think I saw this in the Leshem and others, but this idea that if Hashem wishes to make something different from other than what we want, and the person really is reaching those levels of bitochon, what Hashem does is He interferes with the bitochon. I'll give you an assignment. They'll shake you up. I mean, I've seen.
Not the Yetzirah. What? That's the
well, Yetzirah, sometimes right? No. Sometimes the Yetzirah, and sometimes if the Gzeira has to be a certain way, I know a situation where a person was very sick, and was really the treatments were working, and the doctor said everything is fine, and the treatments are over. This is the last treatment. Everything is going to be. And it caused a certain rifyon in the bitochen because, oh, we're not working as hard, you know, like it's already a done deal. Stanka was over very quickly after that. We can't let that go. We can't let anything. We can't let the positive news interfere with the avodas habitochen, and we certainly can't let the negative news. The positive news can be used as a stepping stone if we use it. If we have Ahashivoisel, look, it's helping. It's helping. We're getting there. Look, until now we worked. We have bitochen. Oh, now more. Let's keep it going. And the negative news can certainly be used. Because the negative news, like the Pasuk in Mishlei says that the Rabbeinu Yoina brings, B'yiras Hashem Yiftachois. The negative news. Ooh, Abitzora. Where else are you going to turn at Zora? Who else can help you? You know? Who can help? Only the Rabbeinu Shalom can help. So either way, whether it's the good, to take the good as a sign that things are getting better and to use it, but it's always about Vahashivoisel Elavavecha. The Midas HaBitochon has to be maintained and adjusted and reinforced and finessed and reviewed and re-entered constantly. Constantly, constantly. I know it intellectually, but it has to be emotionally internalized. Excuse me, again and again and again. Otherwise, we lose it. That's my story.